Siren Radio.
Perfect. Almost as perfect as I'm sure the next few moments will be as we say, what is the weather in Lincoln, England going to be from that home of Lincoln Imps in Gibraltar, Gabriella Peralta?
Okay, so the weather in Lincoln today is highs of 20 degrees centigrade, lows of 10 degrees centigrade. It will be a rather cloudy day with outbreaks of rain.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
It doesn't matter whatever the weather happens to be, as long as we've got Gabriella delivering the whole thing, it's a better day all round. That's the important thing. As we said, last week, so close, Lincoln Imps, to actually doing the business. In the end, it was a one-all draw, tantalisingly close, really, but still, never mind. There's always next year. Which is probably why you went out and celebrated, because yesterday at 1:10 a.m, that's, yes, a.m., in the morning, bright and sparky and all sorts of things.
That wasn't me. It wasn't yesterday at 1:10 a.m. that it happened.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was...
You've got to share, OMG, exclamation
mark. That was Friday night.
Photophiliac, this is when it was posted. That, so you might well say it even went from Friday night to yesterday morning. It was a five-day party.
Yeah. It was just... No, it was a Friday night party. That was, a picture was uploaded yesterday.
Well, we all know about social media.
1:30 in the morning, I thought it was 1:30 in the afternoon.
No, I've definitely got 1:10 a.m. here, unless, of course, we've got a time zone difference, which we've never really considered, because obviously, if you're listening in Gibraltar, the time is coming up to 4 minutes past 9 a.m. That's 4 minutes past 9 a.m. in the morning. Don't worry.
I got tagged during the day. Or maybe they uploaded it at 1:10 in the morning, but didn't see it.
Either way, but it's almost as though it's Gabby and her homies. It's astounding. She got to share with us what's going on there. I mean, here was I thinking, you know, Gibraltar, after the Living Daylights had been shot there back in the 1980s. No, I'm not going to ask Gabriella, have you got around to watching the movies yet? But what the heck. Was that the highest you could actually get? No, you've just proved to be a parte animal. From that point of view. So what was going on there? Was it a case of, well, what the hey, it's Friday night, it's time to party?
It was a colleague's birthday party.
Yes.
But the colleague's not pictured.
No.
So the birthday girl's not in the picture.
Yeah.
So it was a colleague's birthday party.
Any excuse. Now, is this the same birthday party that actually saw you earlier, or at least the end of July, at Las Iguanas, Gibraltar?
She has had multiple...
Multiple
birthday parties.
Like the Queen, more than the Queen.
Dinners, yeah,
she's
like the Queen.
Well, there you go. So, okay, shout out for Christina Cavilla.
Yeah.
There you are. That's marvellous. So, just, you see, that's, she'll never hear it. She might, there's always a podcast, but then again, whatever. So, of those multiple birthdays and parties, presumably you were on the A list, obviously. I mean, the Peralta doesn't do anything less than A, you know, that's the bottom line. Any particular, did you think they were all equally wonderful? Do you think one or two were better than others? I mean, that's a chance to cast your social, critical eye and reflection over the experiences.
One was a dinner at the recently opened Las Iguanas in Gibraltar. Mm-hmm. It's a chain in the UK that we...
Do they have any iguanas actually in the restaurants that you can actually chat to?
No.
Or? No?
No. It's South American food.
Right, yeah.
But I'm sure people in the UK would have heard of it because it's a chain over there. I'd never heard of it.
Surely, you know, you can't have a restaurant called Las Iguanas without having an iguana in there. I mean, surely that's the whole point. You know, you should have an iguana to hand. But that way you could actually sort of have Las Iguanas welcomes Frodo, whether he's conscious or unconscious. It's a thought.
I know, Frodo hasn't gone to Las Iguanas.
No. Are there any doggy restaurants or dog-friendly restaurants in Gibraltar? Is it a case of no, you've got the canine, you keep it outside?
Most you keep outside. There's one or two that they have kind of like semi-outside patio area.
Uh-huh.
So the dog's allowed in the patio area. Yeah. But I think there's one restaurant I can think of that actually lets dogs inside. But apart from that, no.
Well,
your dog, keep them outside.
Yeah, this makes sense. So we've got to ask.
This weather, I guess, is warm enough to do it.
Very true. Is he conscious? Is he unconscious? What position
is
Frodo in?
Out for a walk.
Out for a walk?
Out for a walk with my dad.
I see. Well, and
he's actually moving. He woke up with such excitement over his food.
Over the months, Gabriella, the listener and ourselves have obviously been gripped by the never-ending, it would seem, saga of has Frodo fallen out of love with his mistress, and is he actually more happy to see her dad when he goes to walks and various other bits and pieces? Is he just fickle, or is it just something more deep-rooted that we need to work through? Have we managed to resolve that situation, Gabriella, or is he still tending to actually like your dad more than yourself?
Breaks my heart to say, but maybe he does.
Unbelievable.
It's because my dad hangs out with him all day while I'm at work.
He's a canine fool. He's a canine fool. He'll regret it in times to come. You know, he's just a hound dog in every sense of the word. Okay, looking ahead to other features we're going to be doing with a nutritional expert, in fact, a drinks expert to be precise, Rebecca Seal, who's talking about changing food habits. It would seem that catering for dietary needs costs Britain an extra £206 million each week, with one quarter of all households having somebody suffering from either an allergy or a food intolerance. Do you have any allergies or food intolerances that you want to share with us, Gabriella, or is it a case of no, I'm in Gibraltar, I'm perfectly healthy?
No, I don't have any food allergies. I had a friend who had celiac disease, so she had to eat gluten-free.
Well, one in five households, apparently, in the UK now have a vegetarian or a vegan in the house.
Yeah, I can imagine that, I've got colleagues who are, like, vegetarian. Well, I've got one that's vegan. And I know people that are vegetarian or vegan or just simply don't like meat.
Well, it's food journalist, editor and TV presenter Rebecca Seal who'll be talking about this research by Bosch and addressing the whole aspect of how parents are actually spending 2.5 hours in the kitchen every week making food which meets everyone's needs. Once again, you do not realise the sacrifices that are being made from that point of view. What will you be doing with the Gibraltar Chronicle later on today, Gabriella? Where will you be headed? Or can you actually not say because it's a case of it's a top secret scoop that you're working on?
No, I've got a couple interviews today. Mm-hmm. I've got one with the Scale Model Society. They're hosting a competition later this month, early September. Mm-hmm. So they just want to make sure they have the publicity about that competition. Mm-hmm. So it's just about
lifestyle. It's lifestyle.
It's one of these. It's just a scale model. So it's one of these. They go to an exhibition in the art gallery, showing off all their little scale models. So it's just.
There we are.
I think it depends on which scene they do it. A lot of them are usually war scenes, so or like military scenes. Mm. So I had to find out really what scenes we're going to be seeing and how long, because I know that these. The models can take such a long time, they can take months.
There's a lot of painstaking care that actually goes into producing
the
model. Exactly. All this fine-tuning things from that point of view. And I'm sure photographic evidence will be up on the Gibraltar Chronicle website, or you might even put a Facebook on, you know, to kind of offset the party animal that you actually become and metamorphose into.
We do have a Facebook for the Gibraltar Chronicle.
Yeah, well, and clearly I need to get that sorted through.
I had a good story the other day. There's been an earthquake in Indonesia, and two Gibraltarians were caught up in it, and they were when the earthquake happened, they were in their hotel room, so they hid on their desk. Power went off in the pitch dark, and then they had to run up the hill with all the tourists and the locals because everyone was scared of a tsunami happening, because that's happened in the past. So they all ran up. Stayed overnight at the top of the hill, sleeping rough, but came back down the next day when the fear of tsunami had kind of worn off. But went back to the hotel told them you got 5 minutes to pick up your stuff and get off the island. So they ran to the beach with everyone else, and then they were all kind of just, I think it was about 4,000, because these are very tiny islands, so they had about 4,600 tourists that ferried off this island, but obviously it's not a proper developed area. It was in the Gili Islands by Lombok, east of Bali.
Indeed.
Women were just kind of, they got separated in different boats, and then after 15 hours they finally met each other in Bali. But they had pictures. You can see it on the website and on the Facebook.
When all's said and done, Gabriella, the lengths that people will go to just to be interviewed by yourself, quite frankly, ridiculous. But never mind.
Yeah.
Because you like, or indeed have checked in with @GibChronicle, that's @GibChronicle, CHRONICLE, I am now going to become the 2,964th person to like it.
Yeah.
There we are, done it, you see, done and dusted. Whoa, I feel as though I've just been through a whole new experience in one's life. It'll give me up for a chat with Richard Fitzwilliams, who's going to be reviewing Ant-Man and the Wasp and Apostasy, but I need to put those last two questions to you, Gabriella Peralta.
I watched Ant-Man last night.
Oh, so, now is this the first Ant-Man or was this Ant-Man and the Wasp?
I watched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right, so what's the Gabriella Peralta score then?
I really liked it. I would a solid 8.5.
Excellent. A solid 8.5. I should just note that down for reference from that point of view. I have a little clip from that coming up in a few moments. But Gabriella, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, thank you.
Marvellous. In many ways, you are the Wasp to the siren ant person, or whatever. Or maybe not. I don't know. Are you coming back with us next week?
Yes, I will. I will be coming
exactly.
Back.
This is the critical thing from that point of view. And meanwhile, sometimes, having seen Ant-Man and the Wasp, maybe you might get round to watching that opening sequence of Living Daylights. Just a thought.
Timothy Dalton's first Bond movie, of course, The Living Daylights. Aha! And if you're looking to scare the living daylights out of your good self, why not speak to ace film reviewer extraordinaire Richard Fitzwilliams. Richard, it's your time once again. Good morning. Welcome to the Madrid Drive Morning Edition.
And indeed, with a film like Apostasy, it's
very
scary to be on the programme.
Would it scare the living daylights out of you if you were a faithful Jehovah's Witness forced to shun your own sister because of a religious transgression?
That is absolutely what this movie is about, and indeed, the way it is filmed, there are certain British movies that are absolutely excellent, and I mean, this low budget, but also, above all, convincing characters and a director, Daniel Cocca-Tagliardo, who was himself brought up as a Jehovah's Witness. So, I mean, I have to say, I was really shocked by this film. It leaves you feeling angry. I will endeavor to avoid any spoilers, but what it does, it exposes the ruthlessly dictatorial practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I have to say, I had no idea of the way this cult operates. We meet Ivana, who's played by Siobhan Finneran, a very fine actress. She's a devout follower of the Jehovah's Witness cult, and she has brought up her two daughters, Louisa, played by Sasha Parkinson, and Alex, played by Molly Wright, as Jehovah's Witnesses. Any transgression is regarded with absolute horror. A meeting of the cult is supposed to take precedence over school activities, for example. And it's when Louisa gets pregnant, she is outlawed. And by outlawed, quite literally, her mother and sister are forbidden to have contact with her. And the rules are absolutely ruthless. But it's at the beginning of the film that the real horror is sketched. Alex, is anemic. But blood transfusions are forbidden because that's not what God intended, apparently. So it is pretty clear that there is going to be a crisis at some point. And when there is, and she as a devout Jehovah's Witness behaves as her mother wishes and as the cult orders, how do Ivana and Louisa cope when the tragedy actually forces them to come back together? And also, what, if anything, can Louisa do to resume the relationship with her mother, having transgressed? I mean, this is the movie that it horrified me. And I would add that the acting is superb throughout. You don't feel, as so often one does that you're watching actors, you feel that this is, it has a documentary edge to it in the way it's shot in rather dark tones. Putting it mildly, this is a dark story. It left me absolutely enraged. I really didn't know, but the outrageous thing is, of course, it's a matter of choice. Humans have the right to choose their own destiny. Those who join this cult have chosen, so to speak, for the cult to rule their lives. The cult is, heads of the cult are called elders, and the diktats of the elders, one of the elders, in fact, is extremely keen on Alex. Does that mean that when she faces death, that he has any sympathy when it comes to bending the rules? You bet your sweet life it doesn't. And the facts apparently are as laid down in this film. And I was gripped, but I was absolutely horrified. This is a surreal world. It's fascistic.
Interestingly enough, it is available on Amazon to actually watch at this very moment in time. So if you want to watch it on your device, you can go and check out Apostasy. It's certainly a movie which seems to pack an emotional punch there, Richard. And you've spared no blushes whatsoever in kind of delivering a fairly incisive perspective of what many might say is one of the challenges of all religions, that to a certain extent they might well be cults. But that's another issue for another day.
It is indeed another issue, but this cult, in fact, controls the lives of its members so totally. Mm. And I have to say, having literally, I knew, of course, Jehovah's Witnesses, they occasionally call it the door.
Did they at least provide you with a copy of The Watchtower to actually watch with the movie itself?
Alex, you know, if you'd seen this movie, you wouldn't even be joking about it. It is awful, but it is the insidious nature of the control that they exercise. I have deliberately avoided the, because of the danger of spoilers, what happens after Alex's death and how they treat Louisa when she wants to resume contact with her mother, who, of course, is a fanatical follower of the cult. And I can only say that it's horrific.
Well, Richard, as ever, an interesting perspective. Let's take a slight key change now as we actually spend 70 seconds of Chua Joy, which we've already heard Gabriella Peralta was happy to give Ant-Man and the Wasp 8.5. I've gone for 9.5. This is the moment in the movie where, for me, it actually got that extra 0.5 to move from 9 to 9.5 with a bit of musical madness, courtesy of David Cassidy.
Song that we're singing, come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We had a dream we'd go traveling together. We'd spread a little love and then we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. There's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy. We'll make you happy.
Unlikely to have featured even in an ironic sense in Apostasy. Come on, get happy. But featured not once but twice together with the Stan Lee cameo, Ant-Man and the Wasp. I could not believe that Mamma Mia is actually holding off the Ant-Man return at the UK box office. People insane. It's just Richard, we now turn to your good self, and I'm going to already cast my hat into the ring by saying that for me, this was the best of the three Marvel movies this year. It beats Black Panther. Yes, it also beats. It also beats Avengers: Infinity War as well. I had it up there. Positivity. Anyway, over to you, sir.
Well, firstly, I mean, just to enjoy the comparisons, and I love our duels. Avengers: Infinity War. I had, as you may recall, I described.
You watched the audience rather than the movie.
Wrapped, yes. Absolutely wrapped in the palm of their hand. Black Panther was. It didn't have me in the palm of its hand, but that is not the point. The point is we want to encourage people to go to what appeals to them and see it on the large screen, and they did. So far as Black Panther's concerned, as you know, I was the great admirer, a five-star movie for me and for many, but I remember that you did demur. But here is a very, very interesting example of totally opposite poles apart. Ant-Man and the Wasp, A Secret of Ant-Man, directed by Peyton Reed. It's made over $400 million already at the box office, and that puts it pretty high in the ratings in the year when it comes to audience.
As Stan the Man Lee said, he partied in the 60s, he's paying for it now.
Well, all I can say is we have Janet Van Dyne as Wasp shrinks between the molecules of a Soviet missile. She's saved the planet and is trapped in the...
That's where Michelle Pfeiffer's been all these years.
That's where Michelle Pfeiffer, who I adore and have adored since the Age of Innocence, but that doesn't mean if she doesn't turn up in movies occasionally, which I'm a little less keen on. You will recall a certain review I did of Mother. Indeed. Well, in this case, she...
But she is the mother in this case. And after all, her daughter's seeking her in Quantum World.
In the Quantum World, and Hank Pym, or Ant-Man, was Michael Douglas, raises daughter Hope, Evangeline Lilly, believing that Janet is dead. But when former criminal Scott Lang, played by Paul Rudd, becoming Ant-Man and finds a way of entering and returning through the quantum world, discovering, well, they discover, is Janet actually alive? And Lang and Hope, there are romance between them. They fight together, Ant-Man and the Wasp. But an FBI agent, Jimmy Woo, is trying to keep an eye on Lang because he's supposed to stay at home. That doesn't work particularly well. Enter quantum realism and, well, is Janet to be found? And what about an unstable masked woman played by Hannah John Carman? And also what about the former partner of the character who, I have to say, Michael Douglas is an actor who appeals, Hank, played by the inimitable Lawrence Fishburne, called Bill Foster. They both create a lot of problems, and then there's comic relief by Michael Penner as Louis. Frankly, if you list the cast of this movie, indeed the cast...
It's awesome. Awesome.
The cast is awesome, but here is my point, and I can only say how the movie failed, as it were, to appeal, and that is it liked quite a lot of the first part of it, and there were some amusing aspects of it, and of course shrinking and enlarging.
What's not to appreciate about Scott's daughter? I mean, isn't she just the cutest daughter you could ever wish for?
I think you refer to a weakness you may have for Evangeline Lilly.
No, I was thinking about Scott's daughter, the young child who's doing various sort of positive things. They crawl around in all sorts of other wonderful things, and she inspires her dad to actually go that extra distance.
You know, one of the things where you see a movie like this, one of the problems, and I must be frank, the plot is all but wiped out in my mind, whereas to you, it's already a living thing. What's fascinating, because I quite literally have a pretty well a blank about this movie, simply because when interest fades, it sometimes fades fast. When it fades fast and it doesn't revive, you find things that noise battles between individuals who, I mean, nobody really gets really injured. They just come back and the noise gets louder and you have good versus evil and you have a plot which involves the quantum world and involves the shrinking and the enlarging and all the rest of it. Frankly, it was a movie that made me turn off because I just felt that the characters weren't originally in the first part. There was some sort of character development. You've got a few amusing lines and so on. This is one of the features of Marvel movies, but one of the problems when they don't work. I have an almost total blank simply because...
Richard, I'm shocked. I think you should go there. I mean, as I went to see it immediately after the program last week, and just for Hannah John Kamen as Ava, Ghost, the character came in there. Cassie is the character I was just referring to, Abby Ryder Fortson, some outstandingly wonderful pieces. You have references to Black Goliath, you have Shrunken Carman, played by Stan Lee. I mean, as I said, I thought...
Does it for you? What's fun is to you? And we must encourage this because, I mean, we want people to enjoy, you know, the movies and Marvel. I think that's the 19th or the 20th or something like
number
that.
Number 19. That's excluding, of course, all the X-Men movies that come, the Wolverine movies that come from the Sony Marvel Universe and 20th Century Fox.
I know. It's fascinating because listening to both of us, I mean, listeners will see ultra enthusiasm on the one hand. And on the other hand, almost a certain deadness.
It's almost as though, in critical terms, you've shrunk, I've enlarged. It's amazing.
Almost as though, in critical terms, whether it's that or vice versa, the main thing is, of course, people have enjoyed it. And that is the real test. Mm. And you have to give this marks for the fans, so to speak. But you've also got to say that when you have endless fight sequences that lead nowhere, when a story just basically
Richard, that's... No, you're describing Infinity War. That's the long... You even had... I mean, I trust Richard.
I know, but Thanos, at least with Infinity War, Thanos is six rings or five...
Richard, you're not going to tell me that you left before the end of a Marvel Studios movie.
I wouldn't dare do that. No.
You didn't get that final denouement, that final fade out where there's that sort of the uncertainty, the perfect bridge that we actually have to 2019's major blockbuster series, Infinity War. Leading up to Miss Marvel, and of course the sort of sequence at the end of Ant-Man as well.
I think, you know, I mean, this is, as I say, I'm all for it because people will wait and enjoy it, and they will also, there's this tension where the credits are rolling and what's going to be the trailer and so forth.
Ant-Man and the Wasp will return. It's like
James
Bond.
They all will return. But the problem is, and I just have to confess this, sometimes in movies you do switch off. Sometimes if you review a movie where you have not connected with it and where it seemed meaningless, you must say so. And what's fun is that you've had the reverse view.
Honesty is the best policy. Admittedly, Richard.
Honesty is the only policy, but when it comes to these overlaps...
Tell that to politicians in the world today.
I certainly wouldn't do that, although one of the movies we'll be discussing next week is on Pope Francis, the documentary. So, I mean, there's someone who's, as far as I can see, pretty honest. But on a movie like this, you certainly had the cast to do magic, and you certainly had all the special effects. We've said that before so many times. When you're moving into different universes and so on, you must hold the attention of the viewer, and in this case, I have to say that it just didn't. I mean, the characters that seem so live to you, I would hardly remember who was in it if I didn't have it in the script in front of me.
Well, there we are. And in terms of Pope Francis, who, yes, indeed, actually does appear in the IMDb database, he's got an interesting director as well for the movie, which we'll be looking
at. A very interesting director, but does he pull it off? I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that's to come. Of course, admittedly, you might well say that in terms of the gold standard, has Ant-Man and the Wasp actually reached Guy Ritchie's Man from U.N.C.L.E.? More or less.
Well, anyway. I mean, how about Guy Ritchie's Revolver? Now, there was a...
Outrageous. So Apostasy and Ant-Man and the Wasp, a double A rating, perhaps or perhaps not, but well worth checking out in every sense of the word. Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
Oh, it's fascinating. And also, I mean, it's very interesting to have two completely different views in the same movie because, I mean, the listeners can then decide what they want to do.
Well, if Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar can give it 8.5, I have to go 9.5. I suspect she will be scoring on the doors, but it won't be in the...
See Black Panther if you haven't. That's my advice.
Good movie, Black Panther, but kind of, sort of. All right, whereas Ant-Man and the Wasp, it's striking the right chord. Not quite into Guardians of the Galaxy territory, but almost.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't know if I'm scared of dying, but I'm scared of living too fast, too slow. Regret, remorse, hold on, no, I gotta go. There's no starting over, no new beginnings, time raises on. Just gotta keep on keeping on. Gotta keep on going, looking straight out on the road. Can't worry about what's behind you, what's coming for you, further up the road. Try not to hold on to what is gone. I try to do right what is wrong. I try to keep on keeping on. Yeah, I just keep on keeping on. I hear a voice calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town to be free. Be it for ease. Oh, idea of what or where I am. Something good comes with the bad. It's always never just sad. There's hope. There's a silver line. Show me my silver line. Show me my silver line. I hear a voice call, calling out for me. These shackles I made in the town to be free. Be it for ease, be it for love. I won't take the easy road. I won't take the easy road, easy road, easy road. Oh, I won't take the easy road, easy road, easy road. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. Show me my silver light. I try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver light. I try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver light. I try to keep on keeping on. Show me my silver light. I try to keep on keeping on.
Indeed. Check out the silver lining. There's one in every cloud, even if it is a cloudy day in Lincoln today. It's coming around 22 minutes to 9 a.m. here in Siren Radio, and of course throughout the United Kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Up next, a fine producer, writer, singer, songwriter came in with Springtime Groove 18. We're referring, of course, to Neil Jackson. Heard it first last week on the Midweek Drive, so we thought we'd reprise it on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Why not? Springtime Groove, the band Delta High, the writer, the awesome Neil Jackson, online now from Norwich. Neil, good morning. Are you well?
Good morning. I'm actually absolutely fine. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thanks for playing that.
Hey, it's the only thing we can actually do. Actually, there are lots of other things we can actually do. But, you know, when you've got a time which is coming around to 18 minutes to 9 o'clock, why not actually feature some Delta High? But before we move on from that particular perspective, last week you left the Siren Radio after having made your debut, smashed it as many ways, together with your daughter Lucy, and the question was, Lucy, the following morning, this is one of the reasons you were unable to actually come along to have a post-show debriefing with our ace magician David Fox, etc. The following morning, Lucy had to be up bright and early because something was happening in the centre of Norwich. What was that something, and how did it go, Neil?
Yeah, actually, Lucy was being filmed.
Yes.
She's actually part of the Norfolk Arts acting profession, and she was being filmed because she was nominated for Young Actress of the Year, and that's for the Norfolk Arts Rewards. So we did some filming.
Yes.
In a lovely location in the centre of Norwich, and yes, it was very good, thank you.
Fantastic. Now, when do we get the results, or is it a case of, you know, they're crazy? I mean, clearly there can only be one Young Actress of the Year, and it has to be Lucy Jackson. So what's the situation now? How do we actually sort of follow the whole thing through?
Okay, well, the actual Norfolk Arts Awards, there's actually going to be a ceremony which will take place at the Norwich Cathedral on the 19th of October.
Mm-hmm.
What's actually happening is there's lots of different voting systems, but this particular one, there's actually three people that have been put forward into the Young Actor Actress Award, and Lucy is one of those. The voting isn't going to be a public vote; it's going to be a panel. So there's actually going to be a panel of people that are into Norfolk Arts, and they'll actually study what's actually been going on in the industry, but also they'll be looking at the video that we've actually just shot, and they'll be voting. So it's not the public vote, it's actually a panel.
Mm-hmm. Well, fingers crossed, we will send that positive. And will there ever be a chance sometime to actually see this video? Will you be releasing it to the world? Or is it a case of no, it just stays within the panel?
Do you know what? I'm not sure, but I'm sure that after the actual award show on the 19th, it will be available. So what I'll do, if it is available, I'll send it over to yourself. You can have a quick look. It's only about... about 3 minutes.
Yeah, but it's 3 minutes, that's 180 seconds of magic, and that kind of stuff can be just phenomenal in every sense of the word from that point of view.
I hope it is.
Okay, well, talking about festivals, in a week or so's time, we'll be up and about for another location report, an audio postcard. It's the first ever Blue Bella Music Festival, which is taking place at the Blue Bell in Belford, which is up in Northumbria. Starts at 2 p.m, and we've got headliners including Ian Prowse and Brian Nash, who was actually part of a band you might have heard of, actually, Graham. Frankie Goes to Hollywood, back in the mid-1980s, sort of work basis, but or was it a case of, no, I'm a Londoner who actually moved to Norwich. Why would I be interested in a Scouse band called Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
I do remember Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Hmm.
Remember the t-shirts with Relax written all over them?
Don't do it when you want to. Exactly. It's just a whole range of things there. Two tribes when two tribes go to war. And, of course, the power of love. Just some of the things that Holly Johnson actually brought to the world when only Holly could actually run a track which actually had the classic sound, ow, ow, ow. Always sounded as though somebody was standing on his toe. Never mind. Anyway, it's time for you to actually become a music critic now. By the way, we talked about Lucy. Is she around? Because I don't want to sort of say no, I'm sorry. You know, I've been here waiting to actually say something, and yet, you know, you just spoke about that all the time.
Yes, she is.
Well, there we are. Good morning, Lucy. How are you?
Good.
Now, I mean, clearly, working with parents can be challenging at the best of times, particularly if they're doing videos and various other things, because you're never sure when they're going to be revealed over the years. How did it go? How was the direction? Do you feel happy with the finished product? Do you think, yes, that's a good piece?
Yeah, definitely. It went really well. Yeah, I'm definitely proud.
Good.
How it turned out.
Well, whatever the result, and I know it's going to be good, we congratulate you for actually getting into that young acting side of things. It's another step towards becoming another fine, superlative individual. But you're going to become a music critic now, together with your dad. I don't know how this is going to work. It'll probably be played down the line in some way, shape or form. But I mentioned Ian Prowse, who is a musician who is performing at the Blue Bell in Belford on Saturday the 18th of August. He's also joining us on the show next week to actually talk about various other bits and pieces. But we're going to play an Ian Prowse number for you now entitled I Did It For Love. So together with your dad, are you ready to actually have a listen to this and hopefully grade it and actually say, well, that was rubbish, I'm not going to go to that festival, or, yeah, that's okay. Are you ready for this, guys?
Yeah.
Excellent. Is that a good enough reason, Ian, to do it for love? Ian Prowse, I Did It For Love. We might think it's great. We might be speaking to Ian Prowse. We will be speaking to Ian Prowse next Wednesday on the programme with the Midweek Drive and, of course, at the Blue Bella Festival. But ultimately, the world needs to know, what do the Delta High people think about that? Neil Jackson, what did you make of I Did It For Love by Ian Prowse?
I actually really liked it. It reminded me of the, like, 60s TV movie scene with the flute and with the brass. And also I thought there was a touch of Joe Jackson in the vocals.
Very nice touch. He's great mates with a chap called Elvis Costello, who has also worked with Ian on a number of occasions. And interesting stuff there. Okay, that's thumbs up from yourself. What about yourself, Amy? What did it float your boat, or do you think, I don't know?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I thought it was really catchy.
Well, there you
yeah.
go. You see, it's the joy of actually, and of course the quality that you get playing a piece of music down the telephone line. It's quite surreal, really. You know, you spend all that time in the studio crafting the whole thing through, and what happens? The radio production decides to actually get a critical view by sending it down the telephone line. Oh, well, there's always the podcast. Moving on from that point of view, interesting enough, just returning to Brian Nash, who is performing at the Blue Bella Festival, as we mentioned. He actually wrote a fabulous book called Relax, effectively. Effectively, Nasher says Relax, which which took the lid off the popular music industry, past and present, originally released in 2012. It actually sort of covers the story of Frankie Goes to Hollywood and so on. So it might be, if you're at a loose end over the summer months when you're not actually writing and doing various other things, Neil, have a check out Brian Nasher's Nasher Says Relax, because obviously that's his line. Brian Nasher Nash from Frankie Goes to Hollywood. And we'll speak to him and say later from that point of view. Let's move back to Delta High, because that's the reason we've invited you both on the programme to reprise and so on. How's the general promotional thing going? Can people actually buy the album? What's the way forward before we actually go into another excerpt, which will be Fantasy Island?
Okay. Yes, the new album's called The Love God. It was released about a week ago, and it's available on Amazon Digital Download and also iTunes and Spotify. There will be a CD to follow later in the year. But what we've just finished doing, we've just actually filmed two videos which go along with a couple of the songs on the album. One of the videos is for the single Springtime Groove. And we basically went down to a place called Hopton-on-Sea, which is near Great Yarmouth in Norfolk. We had some lovely, glorious weather. So the actual scene basically is there's some beach scenes and some bar scenes in the video, so that's quite exciting, and that video should be out in about 2 weeks' time.
It's just one never-ending round of multimedia routine. Quick question, you mentioned obviously CD, physically available. Would you go the whole hog and actually produce a vinyl version?
I'd love to, because vinyl is definitely trending now, and I actually still buy vinyl, albeit about £20, £30 cost each time. Yes, definitely my ambition is to put the actual vinyl out, and I've spoken to the record label, Ashwood Records, and they're quite keen to do that later in the year. So that will definitely be forthcoming. I think what's also helped is we checked the charts just before today's radio show with yourself, and a couple of days ago we actually hit the dizzy heights of number 49 in the Amazon charts.
Hey, we see. It just goes to show the power of the midweek driver, the midweek driver only edition, you see. It can just work its way through that. In fact, I just put up a review on the aforementioned site for one of our guests yesterday in his book, The Six Sixers. It's tremendous stuff. Lucy, vinyl, is that something which you kind of fond of? Is it a case of, well, it's something that my dad likes and so on, or I don't know, what is this vinyl thing? Or are you also caught up in this notion of, yes, it's got a wonderful, warm sound. I like my vinyl.
Dad has quite a lot of collections of them, so I think that would be a really good to have one of his his music on vinyl to add to his collection.
Exactly. And just think the actual value on eBay in years to come. Never mind. It's a different lot. Obviously, other auction sites are available, as I'm doubtless sure we're going to be finding out. Now, we'll be talking in the next hour of the programme to food journalist, editor and broadcaster Rebecca Seal. We've also got Gloria Hannaford joining us, and Philippa Kane. I'll be talking about a whole variety of other aspects. Plus, this weekend, it's a games extravaganza, retro games extravaganza. And I've got to actually ask both Lucy and Richard there for a moment. Neil, let's just get the name sorted out from that point of view. Were you a computer games fans? Were you Super Mario Brothers? Did you like Super Mario Brothers or Pac-Man or Tomb Raider? Or was it a case of we don't have time to get engaged with computer games, etc.? We've got something completely different to do. Neil, computer game fan?
Oh, I'm a Pac-Man man.
Are you?
Yes, I remember when he first came on the scene. Absolutely love Pac-Man. Super Mario, I do recall playing with my two daughters.
Right. And Lucy, were you? Or are you going to say no? I was always Sonic the Hedgehog.
I really liked Supercar. I think that was really good.
Yeah. Well, Super Mario's Supercar, of course, a series by Jerry Anderson, which you're probably far too young to remember, but it's well worth accessing. Mike Mercury, Supercar. It's a superb system. But anyway, time is as ever of the essence. I've got to ask those, actually three questions, really. First of all, if we gave you a choice between Fantasy Island and The Love God, which one would you choose, Lucy?
Fantasy Island,
good, excellent choice. Like that. Very well put together. Let's not go for the title track. Let's go for Fantasy Island. So have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
Yeah.
That's been fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Marvellous. Fantastic fantasy. Will you both be back again, either telephonically or in the studio? Will you return?
We'd love to come up again.
Whoa!
see you.